Turn with me in the Holy Scriptures tonight to the second chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke 2. We'll read together the first 20 verses. My text tonight is made up of verses 15 through 17, the account of the visit of the shepherds. The Word of God at Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. There ends our reading of God's Word tonight. May the Lord bless our reading of the Holy Scriptures. The text then is made up of verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Luke 2 contains the historical narrative of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The writings of Mark and of John make no mention of Jesus' birth at all. Matthew's account records only the fact of Jesus' birth. We read of that in the last two verses of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We learn from the first part, the opening verses of Luke chapter 2, that Jesus' birth took place in the context of a decree that was issued by the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus. That decree demanded of all the world ruled by the Roman Emperor registration for a tax. A tax that Caesar was going to impose sometime later. In order to register for this taxation, Joseph, along with his pregnant wife, Mary, left the city of Nazareth in Galilee, in the north of the land of Palestine, and journeyed some 90 miles to the south to Bethlehem, the city of David. This was necessary because both Mary and Joseph were of the lineage of David. Both of them were descendants of old King David. The official register of the family of David was kept at Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem was the city of David's birth. Bethlehem was the city in which David had grown up. So it was necessary for Joseph and Mary to come to Bethlehem. Having arrived in Bethlehem, Joseph was unable to secure lodging for himself and Mary that night. Bethlehem was only a small town. Many other people were in Bethlehem at this time, registering for the taxation. There was found no room for them in Bethlehem's inn. Turned away by the innkeeper, Joseph and Mary were forced to spend the night in Bethlehem's stable. Very likely a cave outside of Bethlehem in the hills that surrounded Bethlehem. That night, in Bethlehem's stable, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, the Lord Jesus Christ, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. The Savior had been born. The Word had been made flesh and now dwelt among us. The mystery of godliness had been realized. God manifest in the flesh. The first to receive the news of Jesus' birth were shepherds watching their flocks that night in the fields outside of Bethlehem. The news of the Savior's birth was not first of all brought to Caesar Augustus in Rome. It was not brought to the leaders of the church of that day, the apostate church of that day, the leaders in Jerusalem. But the news was brought to these shepherds, lowly shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. After the announcement of Jesus' birth, verses 9 through 11, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. After that announcement to the shepherds of Jesus' birth, the angel of the Lord was joined by a host of other angels, the heavenly host, who praised God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 14, or better, peace on earth to the men of God's good pleasure. Our text this evening contains the shepherd's response to that announcement by the angel. The text tells us that they went immediately to Bethlehem's stable. The text tells us what they saw once they arrived at Bethlehem's stable. And the text tells us also the response of the shepherds to what they saw in Bethlehem's stable. I call your attention tonight to the shepherds' visit to Bethlehem's stable. Let's notice three things together this evening. First of all, let's notice the covenant family that the shepherds saw when they arrived at Bethlehem's stable, the covenant family. Let's notice, secondly, the babe that they beheld in Bethlehem's manger. And let's notice, finally, the response of the shepherds to their visit to Bethlehem's stable. What the shepherds saw upon their arrival in Bethlehem was Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 16. What the shepherds saw was a family, a covenant family, a husband and father, a wife and mother, and the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. That the first thing that the shepherds beheld was a family is no accident. We must not suppose that it is quite incidental, really rather insignificant, that the shepherds, when they came to Bethlehem's stable, saw Joseph and Mary as well as the babe lying in the manger. We must not pass over too quickly that what they saw, first of all, was a family. Now this child who had been born in Bethlehem's stable was a virgin. The child had been born to a virgin. Jesus' birth was a virgin birth. At the time of his birth, his mother Mary was a virgin. She did not yet know a man. The Bible teaches very clearly Jesus' supernatural conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The fact of the virgin birth had been revealed to Mary herself clearly in the words of Luke 1, verses 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And also Joseph had been informed by God of the wonder of the virgin birth. But although Mary was a virgin, although Jesus was born to a woman who was a virgin, he was not born to an unattached virgin, to a woman without marital status in the nation of Israel. In reality, Mary was the wife of Joseph. Luke 2, verse 5, calls Mary Joseph's espoused wife. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. The fact is that at the time when Jesus was born, Mary was the wife of Joseph. For that very reason, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, knowing that he was not the father of the child conceived in Mary, contemplated divorce, indicates that legally Joseph and Mary were married. The fact is that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's stable, he had a father and a mother. His mother was his natural mother, while his father was only his legal and adoptive father. But for all that, God saw to it that when Jesus was born, he had a father and he had a mother. What the shepherds saw in Bethlehem's stable was a family, a godly family, a covenant family. And that is because the family is at the center of the purpose of God. He is born, is Jesus, to be the Savior. But the salvation of God in Jesus Christ will be a salvation of His people in their generations. That salvation will be a covenant salvation. And already the birth of Jesus indicates that fact. This is true, even though the Bible teaches us that Mary's child is the Son of God. God is the Father of Jesus Christ. God is uniquely the Father of Jesus Christ. God deliberately bypassed the usual way in which human beings are conceived and born. And God Himself caused Mary to conceive, even from an earthly and natural point of view. God is the Father of Jesus. It would have been perfectly well possible for God to have dispensed with Joseph. It would have been perfectly well possible for him to have done away with the normal family structure. It wasn't necessary for Jesus' birth because God was the Father of Jesus. So that when the shepherds came to Bethlehem's stable, what they saw was the Virgin Mary and the child that she had brought forth lying in the manger. But that is not what they saw. Very significantly, even in the birth of the Lord Jesus, God carefully preserved the family structure. Joseph was part of the picture when the shepherds came to Bethlehem's stable. We know that as Jesus grew up in Nazareth, he honored his earthly father as well as Mary, his mother. Joseph was a carpenter, and he taught Jesus even his carpenter's trade, so that Jesus was not only known as the son of the carpenter, but was himself known as a carpenter. Besides his earthly father and mother, Jesus also had brothers and sisters. We learn of that later on in Matthew's gospel account. In Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? When the shepherds found the baby Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem, they saw not only the Lord Jesus, but they saw his father and his mother. They saw a family. We learn some things here about the family, the covenant family. We learn, first of all, that this is the will of God, the family, and family life. There is a growing consensus these days in Western society, and certainly in American society, that the family is not necessary anymore. The traditional family can safely be dispensed with. It comes to it that single parent families are now the trend in our country, are in the majority as opposed to the traditional family. Single women between 30 and 40 are the fastest growing group of single mothers, the main explanation for which is this, that they have been interested first in pursuing and establishing a career and then become interested in a family. or at least in one or two children. Or it comes to it today that rather than the traditional family, same-sex marriages are recognized legally. Two daddies or two mommies in a family. The will of God is otherwise. The popular view that the family is unimportant or that the family can take any and every possible form is rebellion against the revealed will of God. The result of that rebellion is not only the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of society itself, which is built upon the family. But the result is the judgment of God, the wrath of God upon evil men and evil women who despise the clearly revealed will of God. In the second place, we learn here that according to the will of God, the family consists of one father, one mother, and children. This is the will of God. This is the standard, the only standard. That was the kind of family into which Jesus was born. That was the kind of family that the shepherds beheld in Bethlehem's stable. In the third place, we learn here the important place in the family that the Father has. As we have seen, Jesus did not really need a father. He didn't need an earthly father to bring about his conception and his birth. That was a special and unique miracle of God. Nevertheless, even for our Lord Jesus, it was important in the eyes of God. It was necessary that he have an earthly father. That's because of the importance of the father in the covenant family. That's because of the important place that we fathers have in our marriages and in our homes. That's because the Father is spiritually the head, the responsible head of his family. The importance of the Father comes out here. And finally, we learn here that since this is the will of God for his people, if there are shortcomings in our marriages or in our families, we must repent. We must recognize our sins, confess them, fight against them, and turn to God for the help that we need in our marriage or in our family. Today, we remember God's great gift to His people, the great gift of His Son, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But closely connected to that gift is the gift of family. A family life. That gift of God. Although the shepherds found a family in Bethlehem's stable, Joseph, Mary, and the newborn babe, their focus was on the newborn babe. The babe lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the focus of their attention. The angel had told the shepherds that this is how they would find the babe. Verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The angel had told the shepherds that they would find in Bethlehem's stable the Savior as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. The purpose of this sign given by the angel, given by God through the angel, was not merely to identify the baby to the shepherds, to identify to them which baby was the Savior, Christ the Lord. They didn't need that kind of a sign. Bethlehem was a very small town, and Bethlehem's stable certainly was not a stable in which more than one birth took place that first Christmas night. Easily enough, the shepherds would be able to find the baby Jesus. That wasn't the purpose of the sign, but the purpose of the sign was to indicate to the shepherds the truth of what the angel had said about this baby. The purpose of the sign was to confirm the message of the angel. It was a sign that would show to the shepherds that this child was indeed the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. That was the purpose of the sign. The sign is something outward, something visible, something that you can see. The sacraments, for example, in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are signs. As signs, signs appointed by God, they are signs that point to spiritual truths. And that was true also of this sign. It was something outward, something visible, something that the shepherds could see with their eyes. But what they saw with their eyes was something that stood for a still greater and spiritual reality. This baby, born in Bethlehem's stable, appeared to be an ordinary baby, no different from any other baby, but by means of these signs, it would be indicated to the shepherds that he was not an ordinary baby. That in fact, he was Christ Jesus, the Lord. What was the sign that the shepherds saw? The sign that they saw was, first of all, a baby. A baby. The Savior. Christ Jesus, the Lord. The Son of God, who is eternal. A helpless, a dependent baby. To the sign belongs the fact that this baby was in a stable. A stable. He was not in the inn of Bethlehem. No room was found for him in the inn. He was forced instead to be born in a stable, a dark, a dirty, a smelly stable. You mustn't glamorize that, romanticize that, as the world does. There was no room found for Jesus in all of Bethlehem. He was rejected. He was put out and put into a stable. And it belongs to the sign that the shepherds saw that he was the baby laid in the manger, an animal feed box. He's not in a nice crib, a newly decorated nursery, but he's in a manger. This was the sight that confronted the shepherds. This was what they saw when they arrived in Bethlehem. About this baby, the angel had told the shepherds the most tremendous things. Savior, Christ, the Lord, David's son, heir to David's throne and kingdom, the Son of God. And the sign of it all is that he's born in the stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in that manger. But it was exactly because he was the Savior, because he was Christ the Lord, because he was David's son who had come to establish David's kingdom, that this is his sign. For you see, his being the Savior will mean for him lowliness. It will mean for him humility, the extreme humility, not just of Bethlehem's manger, but of the cross. Cross of Calvary. His being the Savior will mean for him rejection and shame, cast out by man. Just because he is the Savior, this is the sign of his birth. This is what the shepherds must see when they come to Bethlehem's stable. The babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in that manger. By their response to the visit to Bethlehem's stable, the shepherds revealed that they believed the message of the angel and believed on the babe as the Savior, Christ the Lord. They showed that already by their response to the message of the angel. Verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed the message of the angel. They showed that. They showed that by what they said. Notice what they said. The shepherds did not say, let us now go to Bethlehem and see if this thing is come to pass. They said no such thing, but they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. They believed the Word of God. They believed the message of the angel. They showed their faith not only by what they said, but also by what they did. They came with haste to Bethlehem's stable. They left all behind. Their flocks, their livelihood. None of that meant so much to them as the babe in Bethlehem's stable. They came with haste. And by what they did, when they came, they worshiped this babe. They bowed down before this babe. And even though this is not underscored, the worship paid by the shepherds, it is clearly implied. So obvious that it need not even be mentioned. They came with haste to the stable in order to worship the one born as Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord. And then the response of the shepherds includes their response to what they saw in Bethlehem's stable after they left the stable. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They proclaimed the truth concerning the Lord Jesus to all whom they met. This, people of God, is our response to Jesus' birth today. Really, our response is no different than the response of the shepherds thousands of years ago. First, our response is the response of faith. We believe the Word of God. Every word of God. We believe the Word of God as that Word focuses on the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Second, our response is the response of obedience. Faith does not only believe the Word of God, but faith bows to the Word of God. The shepherds obeyed. They came with haste to Bethlehem's stable. Their obedience to the word of the angel, to the word of God, was the evidence of their faith. And third, our response is worship. If He is Christ Jesus, the Lord, if this babe is indeed the Son of God in our flesh, as He is, then we must worship this babe. Worship Him we do. Worship Him in the public assembly of the people of God. Worship Him in our covenant homes and families. Worship Him ourselves, personally and individually. And last, our response is that we make known abroad the truth concerning the Savior. They returned, did the shepherds, to their earthly calling. They didn't forsake their earthly occupation, the occupation that God Himself had given to them, but they returned to their life as shepherds. They didn't set up a commune and now wait for the work of this Savior to be accomplished, but they returned to their occupation. This is the will of God. In their occupation, to all with whom they came into contact, they made known the truth concerning this child. This, too, is our calling. Witnesses we are of this babe. Witnesses to Him who is born the Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. Significantly, the witness of the shepherds did not concern their own experience. How blessed they were to have angels appear to them, speak to them, and proclaim God's truth to them. Not their own experience was the focus of their witness, but their witness concerned Him. Him who was born the Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord. This is the focus as well of our witness. His glorious person, God come into our flesh. His saving work, efficaciously wrought on Calvary's cross for unworthy sinners such as ourselves. This is our response to Jesus' birth, that we are witnesses to Him in word and in deed, in all of our life. This is our calling. This is our privilege. Amen. Our Father in heaven, bless Thy word unto our hearts as we've heard it tonight. We thank Thee for our Savior, for His great work on our behalf. May the joy of His birth, may the joy of His work for us be a joy that endures all our life long, and then is a joy perfected in glory. Amen. Let's close our service tonight singing Psalter number 394. 394. Thy mighty acts and terrible shall men with awe confess of Thy great goodness. They shall sing and perfect righteousness. Let's sing the three stanzas, all three stanzas, 394.